Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore and celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Greetings. My name is Brian Charette. I'm a part-time staff member here at Church of the Nazarene, and I'm here with Pastor Kevin and Pastor Jared. I'll have them introduce themselves in a moment. But we welcome you into a conversation by which we're going to conclude a series we've been doing on Nehemiah in the Bible. And so I'll be hosting, I'll be asking questions, you'll be giving brilliant responses. But we'll start with this. So I'm Brian. Introduce myself. So what I'd like you to do is introduce yourself, a little bit about what you do, and then are you a pro-snow person or an anti-snow person, and what's your first snow memory? I'll go first. I am a pro-snow person. Love snow, love cold. This is my favorite time of year. My earliest snow memory was my grandfather thought he was going to punish me by making me shovel snow. I was about 6 years old. And he was going to punish me by making me shovel snow. And I remember loving it, loving to shovel snow, because you're just by yourself and you've got a mission to accomplish. And I learned how to cut the snow into segments and make a game out of it. And he was burned because he thought I was going to hate it, and I ended up loving snow. So introduce yourself. Are you pro-snow or anti-snow? Start with Kevin. And then what's your earliest snow memory?
So I'm Kevin. I'm a pastor here at the Harrisonburg campus. And I am pro-snow, even though summer is my favorite time of year. I do, if it's going to be cold, I love snow. And when I was a kid in elementary school, my mom, who was a very artistic person, she and a friend of hers would routinely do this. When we would get massive snows in Pennsylvania, they would build things in the yard. And they built so many great things, structures, like Snoopy on top of a doghouse, that the newspaper came multiple times and took pictures of it. It was really cool, actually.
That's nice.
So, yeah.
So my name is Jared. I'm the campus pastor for East Rockingham campus there in Elkton. And
I'm kind of neutral on snow. I do enjoy it, but I also recognize that it means a lot of work for a lot of people.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
true.
I understand that while, you know, we get to be at home and have a lot of fun, that there's a lot of people it means a lot of work for. And so I'm kind of neutral in that. Earliest snow memory, boy, that's a tough one. I do remember my grandfather had an old tractor that he would run down the hill there close to our house and kind of pack down a track that we could run a sled down. And so
It's
just one of those snapshots of memory of riding tractor tread tires down, down the hill.
So, that is a good memory.
Yeah.
Okay. Gentlemen, we've been in a series on Nehemiah. We started 2026 with a series on Nehemiah. We're concluding the series today with this conversation that we're having. So think back on the messages so far. What one or two things really stand out to you about the man, the book, and our series? Whoever wants to go first.
Sure, I can step in. In processing this series and this message, I think the beginning and the end have really jumped out to me. Early in the book, Nehemiah begins, he gets the hard news that things are not going well, that rebuilding's not going well. And he does something there where he stops and he laments and he prays ugly prayers where they're not refined, they're not filtered, but he's really processing that with the Lord. But he takes the time. And I think that kind of speaks to, we can often have a tendency to be in a hurry, to want to move beyond things like that when they happen. And so I appreciated his example there. Of taking time, and he was kind of stubbornly, you know, we believe he would have been in the presence of the king. He would have had plenty of opportunity to voice his frustration, to act, but he surrendered that until he had processed that with the Lord. And I just think that is such a beautiful invitation that we can sometimes miss, that we can sometimes rush past when things go hard, when things crumble. But he leads us in that of, man, process with the Lord first, settle that out, and surrender the timing of your actions to the Lord. And I thought this was a beautiful way to begin. Yeah.
Yeah, this is similar to his thought, but somewhere I read something akin to this statement. There will always be and should be things that happen after prayer, but nothing should happen before prayer. And that was that. That's how Nehemiah, that was his posture, that nothing here in this story is going to happen. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything personally. I'm not going to go before people until I've prayed about it. And that was just this repeated over and over thought throughout the book that I certainly needed as I read all the way through the end of the 13th chapter.
Yeah, we think about Nehemiah as the wall builder. That's what he's famous for. But one of the things I've gotten is his story is so much more than just he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And that may be the lead, is his heart for prayer and how it was always about turning toward the Lord. One of the most important things the two of you and our other pastors do is decide what we're going to preach on Sunday morning. It's a critical decision. You seek the Lord. It's important, obviously. And so I'm wondering about a character in our book Nehemiah from the Old Testament. We all know that there are some churches that have virtually given up on preaching out of the Old Testament. But at our church, we want to preach the whole Bible. So when you choose an Old Testament book like Nehemiah, are you ever concerned that it's not as relevant as maybe a new, because it's in antiquity, it's so much farther away from us? Do you ever get concerned about that? Yes or no? And then what to you makes Nehemiah particularly relevant for us today?
I'll go first. And I guess as a parent, you've had this moment where you walked out of the room and you've told your kids, all right, now here's the rules. Here's what I want you to do and not do. And you leave. And sometimes you come back and those rules are followed. And sometimes you come back and those rules have not been followed. And I feel like, in answering your question, I'm not afraid to go back to the Old Testament, because Nehemiah is a perfect picture of the leader who says, I need you all to do these things. And then he leaves and he comes back, and it's the same story that's been repeated, and it's the same story that we, and I'm putting me in the story, that I sometimes participate in. The Lord has given me some instructions and some guardrails and some guidelines, and sometimes I follow and sometimes I don't.
Yeah, it kind of in a similar vein there of, there is some context and things we have to sort through to relate our stories, but what you see once you dive into stories in the Old Testament like Nehemiah is that so much of the human experience is still the same. Brokenness is still brokenness. It might display itself differently in 2026 than in Nehemiah's day, but man, we can all relate to when things in life crumble down. We can relate to resistance. You know, there's a point in the story where they lay out the resistance that's coming against the wall of the people. It's literally from the north, south, east, and the west. Man, if we pull back, we can look and see, like, we've faced resistance like that. We've faced challenges. And so when you're faithful to get into God's Word and seek Him and seek the Holy Spirit in discerning the Scriptures, I feel like God still brings that back. Like, His story is so good, and He's drawing us into that to see ourselves and to see His invitation of grace to follow after Him.
So with that, a lot of churches do, in January, they do sort of New Year's resolution type sermon series and beginnings type sermon series. We started with Nehemiah. Do you think, first of all, why did we start the year 2026 with Nehemiah? And do you think people were surprised when they heard back in first Sunday in January that that would be the theme?
I don't know what people's reaction was, but it seemed like a great place. We prayed about it, first of all. We didn't just arbitrarily say, well, we haven't studied this book. So we prayed about it. We sat in a room as pastors, and we thought the story of Nehemiah is so compelling for the reasons we're saying, that it was this idea of, yes, a rebuilding. I mean, chapter 13 of Nehemiah, actually, the beginning reading is on what the Jewish calendar would be their New Year's Day. So that also makes a lot of sense. So right out of chapter 13, we would say, they come back and they pray these prayers, and he returns and he says, listen, I need to call you back to the important things of God.
Jared?
I think beyond New Year's resolutions and what we might say some of those things are, I think there's a season, and to be a little bit transparent, I think it's easy in my own life to, you know, you come off the excitement and exhilaration of the holidays and all of that, and you land in January, and it's cold, it's dark, and, you know, there's this season where depression, like, can start to come. And so when you start to dive into stories that are hard and have real truth in them, but yet you see hope, I just think it's a great place to meet people in that time of year. And rebuilding, yeah, this is not a New Year's resolution, New Year, New Us kind of thing. Like, we're going after something bigger than that. But I think it does, it's an intentional decision to meet people where, when I think it's a common experience.
Sure. It seems very relatable. It seems poignant for 2026. So we touched on this earlier, but you could make the case that Nehemiah was more than a rebuilder of walls, but a rebuilder of hearts, a rebuilder of people. Agree or disagree, why or why not?
Yeah, I think, yes, absolutely. So agree. Can I agree and, Brian?
Of course you can, Jared.
Agree and.
I would expect nothing other than from you.
Oh, you're so gracious. Yes, I think you see the importance of people's hearts in Nehemiah's story because, one, he's constantly seeking the Lord. He's calling the people, and they do the real work of confession and repentance and, you know, basically saying, God, we want to do this differently. But I also, what is striking to me is chapter 13, and you referenced the beginning, but on into that, you know, Nehemiah has to go back. That was part of the deal with the king. He goes back for a season, and he returns again to Jerusalem, and he sees that basically everything they said they were going to do, they're not doing anymore. And what's fascinating to me is that the walls are no more in the picture. Is that Nehemiah is not praying anymore about the rebuilding of structures. He's praying prayers of penance and seeking the Lord for the people. And so the walls were important in that season, and he gave his life for it, and they defended it. But at the end of the story, it was beyond that. And that whole story leans into the need of a Savior, which, of course, from Nehemiah, you know, we step into closely that season of silence before Jesus arrives.
Yeah, I think at the end, if I'm not mistaken, Nehemiah is recounting what's happened and what's been accomplished, and he doesn't even mention the walls in that point.
Yeah, I think I sat with Pastor Sam this week, and we talked for just a few minutes, and he said this line. He said, when the heart is not changed, destructive habits return. When there's not a change of heart, yes, he came to rebuild a wall, Jared's saying it, but when your heart is not changed, that's really what he ultimately came to do, to say, I'm pointing you back to God needs to change your heart. And when your heart is not changed, the destructive habits of sin, the old Christianity, people might say, carnality resurfaces, right? It just returns. And so we see that over and over again played out. I mean, these are the same people who literally two pages earlier, as you read in your Bible, have made a covenant. They've said, we're going to do all these things. And Nehemiah returns in chapter 13, and you're left with, wow, I guess their hearts weren't changed because the destructive habits of sin have returned.
It's obvious that we are living in a tumultuous age. When we look at our news feeds, when we read the newspaper, when we watch what's happening, there's a lot of that could confuse us, concern us, and it's global. There are problems and challenges and hardships and confusing things happening all around us virtually every day. With the pace of the news cycle, we are always hit with more bad news, more troubling situations. So I'm going to ask you a two-part question. One is, in this context of difficulty, what do you hope people take from the story of Nehemiah? That's part one. And part two is, what do you hope your people, as our pastors, what do you hope we're thinking when we see all around us? So two parts. What do you hope we get from Nehemiah in relation to all that's going on in the world? And what do you hope as our pastors and caregivers, what do you hope we're thinking as we see what's happening in the world? Two parts.
I think chapter 3 is a chapter of great hope for me. As I look at internal and external opposition, which you could easily go, look at our world, right? I see Nehemiah, a regular man, not a pastor, just a regular civil leader, show up and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray about this. I'm going to pray. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to give you practical things. I'm going to give you a tool in your hand and also a weapon. And they are able to, with all of these different groups of people in chapter 3, come together and really accomplish a great goal. What do I hope our people do? I hope that they not only look at just chapter 3, but they look at the story of God and say, we are living here, but we are not citizens of this earthly kingdom. We have a heavenly kingdom, and he is our king, and our call is to him in everything we do, much more than all of the noise. He's already referenced it, and the, you know, just volatility of where we live. Somehow Nehemiah was the beautiful picture of just a regular man who showed up and said, we can get this done.
Yeah.
Even though all of this commotion is going on around us, we can collectively do this. And in fact, we can't get this done unless we collectively do this.
Jared, the two questions, what do you hope we take from Nehemiah relevant to today? And as a pastor, what do you hope we think when we see all the turmoil in the world around us?
I'll answer that in reverse. I think in the most, you're not surprised.
No, I'd be shocked if you did it.
I think an important takeaway is to remember God's not done. That this is not the end of the story.
Amen.
Even within the story of Nehemiah, yeah, it's leaning forward to a redemption yet coming. And we too, we're on this side of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, but yet we are yet awaiting redemption and the fullness of the coming of the kingdom of God at his return. And so I think to hear and to know that the story that we hear and live in every day, God's not done.
Amen.
And to think that within this story, resistance is going to be a part of our story, that difficult things are coming because we have an enemy. The Bible's clear about that.
Yeah.
And so I just think seeing the story of Nehemiah and seeing ourselves in the bigger story of what God's doing, and to understand, to have hope, he's not done. And that his God's sovereignty and his grace and mercy from chapter 3 of Genesis in the fall has been leaning forward and moving. Mm. And despite all of the human error and mistakes and the things that we read about, and even the story of Nehemiah, it ends and you're kind of going, man, they did so much, but yet they're still leaning for that renovation of heart, for that true restoration. And to realize that no matter what happens, that God's redemption plan keeps going. And of course, from Nehemiah, you get to Jesus, and from Jesus, as we await his return, that plan, that goodness, God's sovereignty is still moving. It might not make sense to us. We might have all kinds of questions in the midst of it, but I hope that we can find hope that, man, God is still in control.
Amen.
He is so good, and his plan will go forward, and he wants us in it.
Amen. Man, thanks so much for your time this morning. Kevin, I think you have some closing words, and then Jared will close us in prayer.
Yeah, just a reminder for our Harrisonburg campus people that this next Sunday we'll be in worshiping together, one service at 10 a.m. We're going to have a baptism celebration, and so we're wanting you and family and friends to come to celebrate as a community for baptism. At our East Rock campus, they'll be meeting at the same normal times at 9 a.m. and at 10:30 in Elkton. So we invite you to join us as a community in one of those services.
All right, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we count it a privilege to know you, to be able to speak your name. Lord, to dive into your word, to have conversation together. Lord, I pray that you would inspire us, Lord, to hope, to place our hope firmly in you. Lord, I know people today are wrestling, are facing resistance, have questions. Lord, I pray that they would sense and know your presence, Lord. The psalmist tells us that your presence is our good. And so, Lord, we're trusting you today. Thank you for the story of Nehemiah, for preserving that for us and yet challenging us today to lean forward and to look to you in the face of what word, the life and the world that we're living in, God, and to know that you're not done. And Lord, so we look to you today as people of hope, and we say, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for those that are out and about today and processing, dealing with snow and things. I pray, Lord, that this disruption, that you might use that, Lord, in our lives to draw us closer to you. Lord, we don't often stop, but Lord, this snowstorm is a good way to shake things up a little bit. So Lord, we just give that to you and ask you to get glory from it and be with those who are out working and serving in this season. Would you protect them and reveal yourself to them in these days? Lord, we love you and we give you thanks today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.